Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate, and it's a very nice evening this evening. Welcome to our show. We have a very special show this evening. We first are going to welcome Reverend Manning to our program to talk about the subject of Muslims tonight. Two aspects, Egypt, Tunisia, the seeming snowball of events in the Middle East, and then Louis Farrakhan's call for the Muslims to overthrow America. I believe it's right coming up. A proposed march tomorrow in Washington, competing marches, one between the Muslim Brotherhood and another between Move America Forward, which usually focuses on our troops. But they are beginning to show up against these Muslims, and we are quite worried about that and what might happen. But I want to point out the American hand, you know, really Obama's hand, not our hand, but it is our hand now that we have this Obama and we failed to do anything about it, but the Obama hand in all of this turmoil around the world. Really, Mubarak, yes, was a dictator, and, you know, this goes way back to Carter in setting up the overthrow of Egypt, because, you know, Carter basically had was responsible and set up a mechanism through Brzezinski and the Muslim Brotherhood to assassinate Sadat, and then Mubarak came in and has ruled since then as well. But the things that show the American hand are the American phrases, in my view, in Egypt, in Cairo, such as quote-unquote game over, and also other things, other American phrases, a number of other things. The Day of Rage is another uniquely Bill Ayers phrase, and that is not American, of course, because Bill Ayers in the 60s and 70s had the Days of Rage, 7 days of rage in Chicago. So we are going to talk tonight about the broader picture here, and I would like to immediately welcome our guest. Good evening, Reverend Manning. So nice for you to join us.
Good evening, Dr. Kate. How are you? Good to talk to you again.
I am very well. I just before the show, I was thinking about you and the times that we have met, and in particular, a time when you put your hand on my shoulder when I came to visit you in New York, and I'll never forget that. But I wanted to, first of all, welcome you and thank you for the great honor of you being here, but also for the huge value and worth and tremendous work that you are doing. So I thank you so much for you and for the work you're doing, and welcome to Revolution Radio.
Well, I'm terribly honored and humbled by your words. A woman of such integrity as yourself, those words are so meaningful. And I'm sorry that I have not been to spend more time with you. I've just been terribly busy. But I can tell you this, Dr. Kate, I'm truly inspired by your work and by what you do. I mean that from the very depths of my heart as I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You inspire me. So thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, okay, in that sense, see you later. No, just kidding. You know, Reverend Manning, I put up on my post today your discussions about the Muslims, and I know you know about Louis Farrakhan's call for the Muslims to overthrow the United States. And
I do.
I know you know about the agitation in Tunisia and Libya and everywhere else. And Obama's hand and Brzezinski and the whole New World Order's hand is in this. And I was hoping tonight in our brief time that you had with us that you could help give us a, I don't know if we need a 10,000 or a 30,000 foot view of this, but can you guide us here? Number one, this Muslim rally that's tomorrow in Washington, I believe, is it an attempt to provoke? And what should be our stance? I personally feel very threatened by the creeping Sharia. So with that in mind, please have at it. How can you help us see, or what would you like to say?
Well, I think our only hope now is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophecy given by him. And let me tell you what I mean by that. It was thought that, and it is the natural course in any event of a person from a particular nationality or group or race, where there might be a minority or in some way a person with a race or group without a lot of visibility, that if that person became an eminent and prominent person in the world, it would inspire members of that particular community. Namely, if a black person became president, it would inspire black people to do great things simply because of one having accomplished a great feat. What we see now with the Islamic uprising and with the illegal presidency of Barack Obama is not an inspiration of black people now accomplishing great things, greater high school graduations, fewer pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, greater college enrollment, and just a general sense of a coming together of a culture of people because they've been inspired by the actions of one man. We don't see any of that going on within the black or the African-American allegedly communities. What we do see, Dr. Kate, is Muslims worldwide being inspired to rise up now and take the world because they know that the man who is the alleged president of America is indeed Islamic or has given Islam the highest place in America and the greatest nation on the planet. He has a full-fledged Muslim name. People can argue back and forth that he's a Christian or a Muslim. I think that very definitely that he is a Muslim, and hides behind Christianity as the Quran will allow him to be able to do. I don't think Muslims necessarily would want him to be an imam, but they are inspired. And we see this upsurge, this uprising that's happening everywhere because they are now inspired by his leadership.
There's always a delay when I'm unmuting myself. Now, of course, inspired by whatever his leadership, his style, but is it because he's an apostate or he's whatever you call the basically a traitor? But is it because he's practicing Taqiyya that they will not, the Muslims in fact will just sort of use him and just go on with this inspiration, or will in fact someday they come to get him?
Well, I think that if we just deal with the Farrakhan issue, which I did not cover in my first statement, the Farrakhan sees an opportunity here. Back in 2008, 3 years ago now, he referred to Obama as the Messiah, which was quite interesting for a Muslim who does not believe in the principle of Messiah to refer to, and this has been documented. I've documented it several times in some things that I've said. And I think Farrakhan sees an opportunity here to inspire hatred against America and its culture, and he's using whatever platform he has to be able to promote that. I think that ultimately Obama would not stand in pristine Islam. However, right now he is a good prostitute for them. He is a good harlot for them, and they are going to use it to the max. But I don't think that he would be ultimately the spiritual leader that they would want. But he has been able to conquer in America in a way that's got the young people globally in what I'm now calling the Koran Belt very much inspired. But ultimately, I think they'll depose him as well.
Ultimately. Now, with Farrakhan and this weaving in, is this the timing? I know he's going to use it, but what about these marches? Are they designed to inflame or just hit and run? Do they have numbers of people who are going to come out?
I think they are designed to inspire. There's a lethargy.
Ah.
About in America now, there is a complacency, there's a tolerance of Islam as if it's, you know, just a different variation of the Boy Scouts. And people are not alarmed by Islam. I think that what this march is all about is to show people we can do this and you need to join with us because we are the future. That's what I suspect. And I think I'm right.
So not to provoke, but to inspire people around the country to just keep going.
Yeah.
And Now, are you of the opinion as well that that there are some false flags potentially being set up to continue to inflame this?
Well, the false flag phenomena, I don't know if I necessarily subscribe to it. Mainly because we have such a reality going on in what's happening with Libya, with Egypt, with Tunisia, with Bahrain, with Saudi Arabia, very possibly with Yemen, and also with the way that the American constitutional government is defending the ineligibility of Obama. I don't know if Obama needs anything right now in order to garner more power. Now, can he use a false flag, or would he use? I'm sure that he would. But I'm reading the political tea leaves right now that he has amassed power, and there is no one really fully and completely challenging him. I mean, there's nobody out there with a voice that would fully challenge him.
And, you know, again, the controlled, well, according to, you know, your discussion about the Saudis controlling Fox, now the whole Republican establishment is saying once again, let's go on to more important things than Obama's eligibility, which in my view, there's no more important thing than we can do right now. So is it that gigantic a lock? And is there any room for, if you will, knocking a leg out from some of that power or disrupting it? Because once, in my view, if we can't stop the whole power, we got to throw a log in the way. And I'm wondering what that is.
Well, 2 weeks before the election, Colin Powell met with ABC News Sunday morning show, and afterwards and during the show gave his endorsement as a fellow Republican and a fellow member of the Vietnam War and comrade with John McCain and Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, came out and endorsed Obama in the most emphatic way, stating that it didn't matter what his religion was or what his ideology was, that he is young, he's full of ideas, and America needs him, and John McCain ought to back off of talking about his Islamic faith and that kind of a thing. And went ahead and gave her a powerful endorsement, which was earth-shaking and a game-changer, just before the election. I think that what we have going on in our nation now, Dr. Kate, with respect to challenging Obama's power or finding a way to assuage it or either completely overthrow him, my first option would be complete overthrowing of him. I still have faith in the Constitution as a remedy and a method by which he ought to be completely overthrown. I don't think you tease a snake like Obama with trying to pull one leg out from underneath his stool. I think he needs to be completely overthrown. But we're facing a problem that is a problem that is not necessarily germane simply to Obama, but that has been growing in America for some time. And that problem is that we have become a people who do not necessarily focus or rely upon character, integrity, and honesty anymore. Those things are pretty much off the table for our political leaders. It's their strategy, their amount of money that they can raise, and to some degree their political policies. But their character has not been a major issue. And with each ascending election, we tend to focus on character less. So I think that having said that, just to restate, I'm still convinced that Obama can be overthrown. He is extremely vulnerable. The problem is that we don't have the backbone. We don't have the outrage that should be in our Supreme Court, that should be in our congresspersons, that should be all across America. There should be an outrage that this man has not produced a long-form, hospital-generated statement of birth here in America or any other kind of credible records. But there is no outrage anymore because people have just lost the sense of the fact that character matters. Dr. King said we ought to judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And if we could get the fire of outrage or begin to talk about character again, get back, if any, I don't care who it is, anybody that's running for president on the Republican side, seeking the nomination of the Republican Party, if that person began to talk about character and about values and about what made this nation great and about the efficacy of the Constitution and how it was poured over and how we have risen to be a tremendous nation and a tremendous witness in the earth and focused on character, that person would immediately garner the attention of the American people and win the Republican nomination and defeat Obama. But how do you get that fire burning? God knows I'm trying every day, but it just doesn't seem that anybody is interested in that anymore.
Wow. You know, I just had an errant thought. You know, you just wonder about, on my blog, we've been talking a lot about chemtrails and
yes.
The constant spraying of this country. You just wonder what barium and aluminum and these various other things are doing to that sort of lack of anger. Also, if you see how many people are sort of drugged out on antidepressants as well, it's been just a massive suppression, if you will, of that natural anger. You know, where I live right now, the skies are just beautiful. I mean, and there's
I know that they are. I know that they
are. And they're blue. Skies are blue. I get so mad when I see a couple of jets come in and spray across. And Sunday morning, I stepped out my door. The first time I've ever smelled that stuff. But back to the subject at hand.
Can I just make a statement regarding the chemtrails and what I suspect that's happening to tamp down the intellect, the courage, and the outrage of the American people. Chemtrails is most assuredly a phenomenon that's going on in our world, and unless we are taking precautions to deal with it, we'll probably die by it. But I'm also concerned, Dr. Kate. You know, when I look at, if you go into a supermarket and you look at the cereal aisles, they go for rows and rows in the supermarket, and they're brightly packaged and nicely colored and all kinds of, and by the way, they're very expensive to the cereals, but they're marketed to our children, and they market them all day long on children's shows and children's television a large part of the advertising budget of General Foods, Kraft Foods, Procter & Gamble, and many others, to market those products to children. And then they put all these chemicals in them, having our young girls beginning to demonstrate puberty at a much, much earlier age than years previously, the same thing with our young boys. And so I think that not only are they getting us from the air, but they're getting us from the packages of food. And I'm doing some investigation now to see how much further I can carry this to a conclusion about what's happening in the packaging of food. I've been so involved, however, in trying to inspire Americans to rise up in outrage over the fact that we've got a man who will not tell us who he is, and everybody thinks that's okay. But regarding chemtrails and the chemicalization of us and weakening us as a people is very much a part. You know, we talk about we live a little longer now because of medicine, modern medicine, and various health benefits. The average citizen lives a little bit longer than we did at the turn of last century. But I think that what we're failing to realize now is that they can take that away from us as quickly as it's given to us with things, items such as chemtrails and the foods that we eat.
That's right. And we have the genetically modified soy, which is just about in everything, and Monsanto, which is really a part of all of this. Now, again, I favor complete overthrow as well, because I am concerned that, you know, people have said they're going to investigate this guy and they don't. We have the Speaker of the House just being, you know, speechless and idiotic, and everyone claiming Obama's a citizen and to forget it and to move on. We've got the judiciary absolutely involved in the stonewalling, the State Department, all the agencies and so forth. So I still come back to we the people. What is the efficacy now? What do you think? Do you think a mass, 2 million people need to go there and just stay? Is that where we are at right now?
Well, we're going to need a catalyst, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to come from, but I am assured that something is going to happen that will inspire the American people, and it may very well be the fervor of this campaign that is before us for 2012 election. It very well may be that. Or it could very well be maybe that people will look up and see that Sharia law is breathing down their necks, that they cannot overcome this, that this nation in a matter of a couple of years has become so Islamic that you can't even recognize or find an American flag or Christian Bible. When that fear strikes, perhaps there will be time and ability left to have it happen. And I would encourage everybody, it's going to take place. I mean, Sharia law, Muslim Islamic thought is sweeping like a wildfire. And though it's burning across the northern sands of Africa now, it'll be burning here in America just as hot in not too many days, because it isn't going to stop. And it's in their preamble. It's what their Quran tells them to do, to overtake the infidels. And they see America as a great prize. I think that might be the thing that will get people. What I'm doing, Dr. K, is that I'm just kind of keeping my powder dry. I know the day is going to come. I still believe in America, all across America, across the heartland and across the area where you are right now. I still believe that Americans are good people. But there's been several things that the media has done to tamp down intellect, to tamp down character and courage, and to tamp down honesty. The media has been quite integral in doing that. But I sense a growing and I sense militias forming all over America, and that at some point in time, spontaneously, that's how I think it's going to happen, but I'm sure it's going to happen that way. You're going to see, and it might be 20 million people all outside of Washington and Virginia and Maryland as well, and a lockdown on the Beltway, and nobody can come in and nobody can go out. And the 20 million people will demand Obama and everybody else who's been a part of that. That's what I believe. I know it's going to happen. I believe in America.
Oh, what a wonderful vision, and also I'm carrying that vision as well.
There's, I know that you are.
I can see it someday, just dropping everything and everyone.
No, don't do that.
We all
don't
show up.
Don't do that. Just keep on every day. Get up and fight one more day in whatever way you can, but don't quit.
Yes, that's right. I definitely I can't quit, no. And, oh, I've got things I would just love to tell you about what I'm working on now. So it also occurred to me while you were talking about the fire that's burning across the sands of North Africa and the Middle East, as you said, is also a convenient way for us to be distracted over there, especially if Obama tries to send troops there while Sharia creeps up behind us right here in the United States. And I think one of the cases was the Oklahoma State, for example, that passed a law overwhelmingly where its citizens said no Sharia law.
Right.
And a federal judge overturned that.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that's what I mean by that it is moving at the speed of light here in America, Sharia, and the acceptance of it in the hearts of many people who normally would be opposing it. But again, when the most often spoken words in America all day long, every day, are Islamic names, Barack Hussein Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, or they call him president, I don't acknowledge him as such, but when they, you know, that name Obama is there, it is the most pronounced word in anybody's lectionary or dictionary or any other form of communication. No other word is more pronounced. So with that being said, it is a constant spiritual opening. And the federal judge that overturned the sovereign state of Oklahoma and in Tennessee and other places as well, we see a leaning towards this, and many people think that is chic, that it makes them look like they are part of an intelligentsia or a part of a
right.
wiser group that they're just
politically
they're engineering
correct.
This. Excuse me?
Politically correct.
Yes, they're engineering the future for us because we're too dumb and ignorant and biased and prejudiced
uh-huh.
and hate-filled to do it, so they must do it for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, when the 20 million people or so show up in D.C., who's got our backs back at each of the state capitals? Because I also worry about that as well. And, you know, perhaps it is those who won't make it to D.C. will have all our backs back in the state capitals, because we must, in my view, stop this right now. And, you know, we have Europeans begging America to wake up on these issues. So, Catalyst, and, you know, we wish we could have Catalyst on our own terms, but, and I know Obama would like a Catalyst on his own term to essentially prevent the uprising that is essentially going to happen, prevent it before it happens, but I think it's going to come anyway. So, you know, in the next 60 to 90 days, what are you looking for or looking out for or watching as you keep your powder dry?
Well, in the next 60 days, I am checking the temperature and the pulse of America through some samplings that we're able to do and our contact with people. I expect that the fires burning across northern Africa and the Middle East will burn hotter and very possibly will spiral out of control, leaving America and Western culture at a crossroads for what to do. We can engage in another conflict. This business of no-fly zone is indeed, if one is imposed, is indeed in effect declaring war on Libya. And I just don't think that anybody in America has got the stomach for it. But I think that over the next 60 to 90 days, we're going to see the price of food, the price of living, the cost of living, and the misery index and the fear index rise at such a level that it's going to wake the American people up. And what we'll have to be able to do is convince them, listen, there is a reason for what's happening. And we need to understand that now that it is awakened, it cannot be put back in the genie. We have one thing that we could do here in America, and that's to remove Obama, because he is as much a part of that burning fire as anything else. But I don't see the fire going out in the areas that we have discussed, but it's going to cost us dearly at the pump, at the grocery store. It's going to cost us in a sense of peace and misery. Because we're going to have to tolerate all of this foolishness. It is not going away. After that, there's no telling where our nation will go and what will happen, but it probably will be the thing that will bring 20 million people onto the Beltway and into Maryland and into Virginia and into Washington, and America be born again at that time. That's kind of where I see it. How soon, I don't have a time frame.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a wonderful vision. Also, you know, I hear it from you, Reverend Manning, and I believe it, and I can see it, because one of the things I've always felt, and perhaps you feel this way too, we've got lots of visions of how terrible it could be in the future, but none of how we could make it our future.
Yes, yes.
Very good. Well, go ahead.
No, I just believe in this nation. And I believe in the people, and so for that it inspires and informs the vision that I have, and I want to be a part of it, and I'm not ever going to quit.
Me neither. And what an honor to be standing hand in hand with you, and I look forward to seeing you in Washington that day. Will there be 20 million people there? Or more.
We'll stand together hand in hand. We've stood together before.
Yes.
We'll stand together then.
Yes, we will. I know you have a very short time with us this evening. I wondered if there were any last things you wanted to say before you had to take off.
Well, I've enjoyed our time together, the talk that we've had. I don't know if it was Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. I think it was more Thomas Jefferson, and I pray that my quote is correct, that in stating that one man with courage is a majority. And I think, Dr. Kate, you and your audience need to be well assured that for 3 years, because of the work of people such as yourself, Obama has not been able to bury the birth certificate issue. Indeed, you and the followers, your people that listen to you, and persons such as myself to some degree as well, that we have been more effective at stopping Obama than the congressional parties have been in stopping Obamacare or any other program. We have been more successful at containing him because in some way, every other day, somewhere, somehow, the issue of the birth certificate comes up in a major way, and it just will not go away, and he can't put it to rest. And though we are not large in numbers, we're not. We don't have a lot of support that is visible. We have a spiritual support, and we have the truth. We have that. We know we have the truth. And so, obviously, if we hold on to that, it will prevail. Not the numbers, not the size. Now, I expect 20 million people to march on Washington at some point or another, if not more. But beyond that, we have the truth. And as long as we just get up and keep waving that flag of truth every day, we will never be defeated.
Thank you so much. Reverend, it's just wonderful to have you here this evening. And carry on. Yes, one man, one woman with courage is a majority. I just have to share this one story with you. You know, I pulled back a post or reposted an article I wrote on my blog a couple of months ago, and it was entitled Constitutional Methods of Removing Obama. And, you know, the original article had over 200 comments on it, and I laid out about 8 ways in which we could remove him, you know, aside from the overthrow that we've been talking about. And sure enough, one of the OBOS wrote, who one has been harassing me for a long time, and his comment was caught in spam, and he said, "You are a bitch.
Yeah.
You are a real bitch. Like, thanks a lot, because we thought that we had squished you, and I'm back. So.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Reverend, for joining us, and please feel free to call me anytime. I'd be happy to return the favor and join you on your show. And all the best.
Oh,
and
then I certainly will do that, to be sure. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I would want to spend more time with you. Tonight's our prayer meeting night at the church. Wednesday night we get together and we pray, and all the people come in, all the babies and everybody come in, and, you know, we pray and ask God to help us through the balance of the week. And then, of course, you know, I do 3 hours every day on the Manning Report and a number of other things that we're trying to do. So I want to measure my time as prudently as I possibly can, and I just regret that I wasn't able to be with you. I've had colds and those kinds of things in weeks gone by. But thank you for allowing me to say a word tonight, and I'll be calling you to share a word with us on the Manning Report very soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Blessings to you this evening.
God bless you as well, Dr. Kate. Take care now.
God bless you. Good night. Wow, that was terrific. Thank you all for listening to that. He was here for a short time. You know, Dr. Manning is somebody that is very important to me, makes a big difference in my life. And I had to hear from him this evening, having watched him and spoken with him before. Sorry, I'm just a little choked up. I'm going to take about a 5-minute break and play some music from Miriam Makeba about South Africa. And one of the things Reverend Manning was talking about tonight was, you know, Obama has not inspired the best out of people of color in this country, out of black people, more graduations and more pride in themselves, that kind of thing. He has inspired the absolute worst of people who are not Americans. And so this playing of Soweto Blues, just remember those days when, you know, the black people, in this case, the South African people, rose up because the police fired on the children. Now, even though there are 20 million people who go to Washington, you know we're going to be fired on until the forces loyal to the Constitution work. So, take a stretch. We've got some interesting things coming up, and I will be right back. Enjoy Miriam Makeba.
Here's a song that was written for us by Hugh Masekela. He calls it Soweto Blues. It said no more Kosa, Zulu, no more Zulu. Refusing to comply, they sent an answer. That's when the policeman came.
To Revolution Radio, and say good evening to everyone in the chat room. Nice to see you. Arizona Conservative, hello. Jan, Kaydid, Nisi, No Nonsense Nancy, and all of our guests, welcome. So for those of you who are just joining with us, we just had about a half hour with Reverend Manning, giving us a broader view of what he sees. I asked him about the Muslim uprising and the, you know, Farrakhan's call for an overthrow of the United States, and just my worry. And I think he not only reinforced that, but we are approaching a time. The most interesting thing I thought he said was is Obama really has not inspired what they thought he was going to inspire. In fact, he's inspired the opposite. He's inspired not only people in our country to overthrow our country, but people around the world to exert and go for total Arab dominance, Sharia law. So along with the same theme, I got a couple of videos, which I did post on my site today, so in case you have seen them, I'm going to play them as an MP3. Lindsay Williams talking about, again, this Arab uprising. He's talking about M16, which is the British intelligence agency, I believe, funding the revolts in Cairo and Tunisia and other places that are going on. Don't forget we've got John Kerry out there trying to cut deals with Sudan, that the target of Brzezinski and this whole cabal is to cut China off and to cut Russia off and so forth. Already we know our millions have been taken and paying back bankers and so forth. An interesting article in Lane Cherry today talks about Mubarak as being payback to the Arabs for all the illegal money that was funneled into the Obama campaign. So serious stuff. Reverend Manning does not believe, or perhaps let's put it this way, that America needs a catalyst to overthrow, to get rid of Obama. Where's the rage? So tonight we're going to have a couple of tapes with Lindsay Williams, each about 15 minutes. I'll be back in the mid part of this. But again, remember that, quote, day of rage was Bill Ayers' term. And the, quote, game over signs that we have seen everywhere as these revolutions, quote, unquote, have happened really show the American Muslim Brotherhood kind of theme. Remember the leader of Iran, who I call Ahmadinejad, met with the Muslim Brotherhood when he was in New York, talked about a new kind of alliance. They're really playing us. They think we're stupid. So let's go ahead and play this first Lindsay Williams tape. It's an interview, of course, with Alex Jones. Here we go.
So, Lindsay Williams, great to have you back with us. Recap. Just as fast as you can, because we're limited on time. We appreciate you joining us. Recap what the double cross of the Arabs means, what dollar devaluation means, what you've been told, the reopening up of government-controlled oil production all over the United States, including, obviously, up in Alaska, that key sector, and how that's going to affect us. Then let's go back to the stories about Ken Fromm you've never told before. And some of the things you can reveal from history that let us chart the future.
For the first time, Alex, I honestly wish I could say I was wrong. Instead, I'm going to have to say this morning, I told you so. I don't know how to even express the way I feel this morning with Saudi Arabia moving tanks and troops right now, as this program is on the air, moving tanks and troops into Bahrain. Bahrain is where their oil goes out. And then through the Strait of Hormuz. Saudi Arabia is the number one supplier of crude oil for the United States of America. It has already been stated by Wall Street that if there's any problem whatsoever in just one more Middle East country, that the price of crude oil is going to go to $225. Now, this was stated by a major Wall Street broker. Overnight, where I live, just at the gas pump, gasoline went up 12 cents. That's last night. Right now, the first day of March, it went up 12 cents a gallon at the gas pump. Saudi Arabia stock market this morning, it's reported, dropped 6.8% overnight. We're in trouble. I have begged people to listen to me. Now, for months, as you know, 5 months ago, I stated on your program there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. I did not realize how far the elite were going to take it. I knew that the dollar was going to be dead by the end of 2012. I knew because they had already told me that the price of crude oil was going from $175 to $200 a barrel within 9 to 12 months. I'm beginning to believe that they have accelerated their timeline. I have not been told that, but it sure looks like it.
Well, that was 4.5 months ago, and you said, to be technical, 150 to 200, and so it's right on time for the acceleration they said that we would see in 6 months, and you're on record telling us that.
That's right. It was on your program. I tried my best to warn people.
And by the way, I know who the living former oil company Big Three CEO is. We just obviously can't reveal his name. We can reveal the other Mr. X, Ken Fromm, because he's unfortunately passed. But this is real, folks. It's on record, and you heard it here first. Go ahead.
So I have to say one other thing that's more startling than any of this. This is going to drastically affect the economy of the United States of America. The price of your groceries, everything that you do is going to be drastically affected as a result of this. But there's one thing that to me is more startling than any of this. We just got it the other day. I don't think I gave it on your program before. We were able to secure a video and soundbite. And Alex, I'm sorry, but I cannot apologize this morning for what we've just produced. But I'll have to tell you, we were just able to secure a sound video bite of chanting during the time of the Egyptian Revolution. And you will see it. It is in the language of Egypt, but yet the words in English we're putting over the top for the to try.
Are you talking about the stuff on YouTube where they're chanting death to Israel?
Question back over a week ago when I was on your program. You said, Lindsay, how is this going to affect Israel? Well, I have your answer for you. They were chanting. Now, this is a Muslim Brotherhood at the time of the Egyptian riots. And the Muslim Brotherhood was chanting. Here we go. Folks, please, you need to write this down. Put it beside your calendar. Here's what they chanted. Quote, to Jerusalem we are headed, martyrs in the millions. You haven't seen this. Alex, have you seen the footage on this?
I've seen footage where they're chanting, we're going to get Israel, death to Israel, we're going to take back Jerusalem. I think that I saw that on YouTube about a week ago. Is that what you're talking about?
No. This is another one. This is one that I really don't know where our producers got it. But this is amazing. You see it. You can't doubt it. You can hear it in the Egyptian language.
Well, let's expand on that, because from your research and what the oil company exec told you, they are triggering this. Why do they want to trigger this unrest? Is it order out of chaos? For the newspaper magazine reporter from New York Magazine sitting in there, explain to him first the double crossing of the Arabs, what it means, and the fuse it's lighting globally.
When Mr. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, this was after, of course, the oil fields had been produced by the Arabs. You remember that American oil companies, the majors, that had been formed at the time of the Spindletop, 1901, Beaumont, Texas, first time major oil found in America, and of course the whole world was needing crude oil at that time to fuel everything. Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, Chevron. When oil was found in the Arab world over 60 years ago, these majors went in. The Arabs didn't have the money to produce their own oil fields. They couldn't do it. There had been prior to that nothing but nomads roaming the deserts fighting camels. And all of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky, this oil is found. These majors, Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, and Chevron, said, we will produce your oil fields. We will build them for you. And you press back as you sell the oil. Then, when Mr. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, this is where the double cross began. He went abroad to every one of these Middle East oil companies, countries that were now producing oil. They had paid the Americans back for what they had built in their oil fields, and he said, I'd like to cut you a deal. He said, we will not produce from our own soil. This is so significant. We will not produce from our own soil. We know it's here. But he said, we will not produce from our own soil. We will buy oil for you, from you. And the thing that we ask is that you take a certain percentage, and they never told me the percentage, they just told me they did it, that we will buy, that you take a certain percentage of what we buy oil from you with, and turn around and buy our Federal Reserve. Oh, please, folks, I'm pleading with you to hear this and to analyze what is being said. Buy our Federal Reserve T-bills and issues. At this point, it is obvious that they knew that America was coming to the financial crisis that it is today, because somebody had to buy the interest on the debt. Never mind the $14 trillion debt. That is not even important. That's insignificant. The interest on the debt must be paid. How is that interest on the debt paid? It is paid by oil-producing countries, by China, by Japan, by super-rich people buying T-bills, which were considered to be the most secure currency on the face of the earth. It was the reserve currency of the world, so to speak, the American dollar. And Kissinger said, you buy our treasury issues, our T-bills, we will buy your gas. And they have bought the majority of the interest on the American debt over these years. Now, they intentionally, by design, the Muslim Brotherhood is being supported by the elite. I'll guarantee you, I have ways of knowing this. And they are going, they started in Egypt. I told you, I pleaded with you to listen to me, and I'm doing the same today. 5 months before it happened, I came on Alex Jones' show, and I said within 4 to 5 months there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. I've been told it by my elite friends. It happened within 4 months, almost to the day exactly as we said it. Why? They intentionally are creating the crisis. It started in Egypt. It went to Libya. It's now going to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the greatest supplier of American crude oil. When that oil is cut off, you haven't seen anything. You think gasoline 12 cents overnight at the gas pump went up. Wait till gasoline goes to $7 and $8 and $9 a gallon. The oil is cut off from the Middle East because of the crisis that are over there. At that time, what happens to the American dollar?
So the globalists are triggering the implosion of the old order to now announce their new IMF World Bank run Bancor Global SDR QE3 system that all currencies will start shifting towards being based in, and the word is it's going to be partially gold backed. And this has been their move. You talked about this 12 years ago on the show. You wrote your book in 1980, 30 years ago. Breaking all of this down, and now here we are, Lindsay. So that's the double cross.
They intentionally have double crossed the Middle East oil producing countries. Henry Kissinger knew back then it was going to happen, but watch what is going to take place now, and you will see it before your eyes in a very near future. When this thing grows so bad in the Middle East, please mark this day down. I've got so much here and so little time to say it.
Let's get into any new information you have it covered, but I promise to get you back on to go back to those Ken Fromm stories you can never tell until now.
March the 11th. Please put it down on your calendar. March the 11th. The Muslim Brotherhood has declared a day of rage in Saudi Arabia. Folks, if they succeed, that's a reason right now in Saudi Arabia, they're moving into Bahrain, tanks, troops, everything imaginable. If that shuts down, we will have 200 to 225. It'll go above everything they told me it was going to happen. It'll be $200 to $225 a barrel at the gas pump. It will so affect our American economy and the dollar. The dollar today, please. You've got to see this. The dollar today was 76.73 just a few moments ago before I went on the show. It has been predicted by analysts in Wall
Street.
Lindsay,
stay there. Let's continue. Okay, Lindsay, I want to continue where you left off with the Muslim Brotherhood on record being an MI6 front. Why would the globalists go in and start triggering all of these revolutions? Why would CNN be telling us how it's like 1776, but then promote sound cannons and microwave guns to be used on the American people? I mean, clearly the globalists love what's happening. Please continue.
This is the method of the New World Order to bring in everything that they want to do by the end of 2012. I gave you their timeline over 2 years ago. I told you that I'd been told by Mr. Trump, that's before he passed away, that the timeline is the end of 2012. We're getting very close. Here's what basically you're going to see next. When Kissinger went abroad and said, I'll cut you a deal, you buy our treasury issues, it was as sound as the dollar. It's not that way today. This Middle East crisis is all perpetrated by the elite. I was told that, and I reported it on your show before it ever happened. You can't say you didn't hear it, and I'm warning you what's going to happen from here. Whenever this crisis grows to a fever pitch, it is going to Saudi Arabia. One way or the other, the Muslim Brotherhood will see to it, and March the 11th is their goal for the day of rage. And when this happens, Saudi being the one to supply more crude oil to America than any other country, it will impact the American economy and society and the dollar. The dollar, just before going on your show this morning, Alex, I looked at it. It was 76.73, and it is forecast that when it hits 75, it will plunge. That means that you go to the grocery store, you're going to be paying phenomenal prices for groceries, for hardware, for everything imaginable. What's going to happen in the Middle East? As this price grows to a fever pitch, in turn, they will not be able to supply us with the oil. Libya just cut off 1.6 million barrels that went to Europe. Now, when Saudi Arabia cuts off the United States of America, can you even comprehend in the least what is going to happen? But this is not the worst part. The part is so significant is when the dollar plunges, the value of those T-bills and Federal Reserve securities, China holds $1 trillion worth. All of the Middle East countries were told by Mr. Kissinger it was the soundest currency on the world. They have trillions of dollars worth. Whenever this plunges, the American dollar goes down because they can't supply. The American economy is affected. This is an outright double cross. Folks, do you have the slightest idea what they intentionally did? They double crossed all these nations, sold them worthless paper. Now they're holding it. And then when they realize what this country has done to them, when China realizes they have $1 trillion of worthless paper, folks, I warned you, I pleaded with you. Mr. Fromm told me before he passed away, he said, Chaplain, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And when America, when the oil is, they've done this intentionally in the Middle East in order to create the crisis so that they could bring about the Americans being in such destitute condition that you will plead and beg with the New World Order, the World Bank, and the IMF for a new currency.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I'm going to start the next part of this, but I thought that was very interesting. It's an interesting discussion going on in the chat about the New World Order and what this is all about, oil prices and so forth. So I've got about another 15 minutes, and then I'll be back. Here we go.
You will plead and beg with them to supply you oil. You will do anything at any price at that point. I have been told, and I just said this days ago, that's the reason I appeared on your show for the first time last week, Alex, with this. I was told that at that point we will open up four major oil fields in America produced from our own soil, but you will be paying over $200 a barrel for it when it could be produced for $60 a barrel. But at that point, you'll be so destitute in America, you will beg for anything in order to be able to drive to work, and your dollar will be so worthless, and the nations of the world so angry at us, the New World Order will be able to bring in all of that which they already have planned.
And then they will pose as our gracious saviors. And if you go back and read your book from 30 years ago, it was all laid out right there, and now here it is unfolding. The question is, can the globalists complete this operation? Well, while the world is focused on the Charlie Sheen extravaganza that was launched on this show by accident last Thursday, that's the number one story in the world right now, all over the planet, according to Yahoo, Google, and many other barometers. We're seeing world government launch their takeover operation of the planet. How bizarre that we're in the middle of both major stories tracking the serious situation with Pastor Lindsey Williams and also at the center of the Charlie Sheen situation. It's, well, reality is much stranger than fiction. That certainly is borne out by people who are living in reality and taking action in their daily lives. You can certainly just see how strange this world truly is. Lindsey, for those that haven't done the deep research on all this, I hope they realize that you're not just saying you made these predictions in October. You weren't just saying 3.5 years ago that oil would go from $50 a barrel to $150 in the next few months, and it did. Then you said now it's going to plunge down to $40, and then it did. And then you said you've got 2 years, it's slowly going to go up, and then it's going to explode. I mean, you're not predicting. You have these major globalist sources known to myself and Dr. Stan Monteith and others. Obviously, we can talk about Ken Fromm now because he sadly died of cancer but we can't get into the other gentleman, the former oil company CEO. But this is a short segment. I wanted to go back in time because in the last two interviews we haven't gotten to the Ken Fromm situation. He was always hiding in plain view. You gave a speech with him when he first went public. He was then fired when your book came out, later rehired. You told the story of the oil company CEO showing up at the back of the audience when he was speaking, when you were there. I mean, this all came out in the early 80s, and this whole 50-year plan we've been on by the globalists. Briefly, break down that Ken Fromm story.
Well, Alex, you know, I'll be glad to, but there's so many things here right now that I'd love to say, but okay. Back in those days, it was quite obvious. He had told me when the Gull Island fine came in that this is what's so significant to right now. And folks, I'm pleading with you. I'm begging with you this morning that you listen to these things. You have never been affected in your lifetime like you're going to be affected the next few weeks' time. The Gull Island fine is recorded in my book, Energy Nine Crisis. If Gull Island doesn't blow your mind, this will. And the day that I watched the largest oil pool on the face of the earth proven and brought in, and within 24 hours, the information was ordered classified, and I asked Mr. Fromm, I said, Ken, why don't you bring this to the American people? Why don't you give us our great American dream? Why don't you let us have soil from our own, oil from our own soil? And he said to me, he said, Chaplain, we are not going to do this. We will not allow this information out. Of course, when my book, Energy Nine Crisis, came out, they went into orbit. And, of course, later threatened me because of what I'd said. But then they couldn't stop it. It was already out there. And Ken said to me, he said, we will not produce this oil from our own soil until we have crude oil to $150 to $200 a barrel. It looks as though it's going to be $225 a barrel instead of $200 a barrel. They're going to open up four major oil fields. I was told this 35 years ago. It was in my book, Energy Nine Crisis, what Mr. Fromm said. It's recorded. Now, I'm telling you, Oman is in trouble. Saudi Arabia is scheduled for a day of rage on March the 11th by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes,
moving tanks into Bahrain this morning.
Yeah, we covered that, but I want to. The thing is, I just wanted to finish the stories we couldn't get to last time, and I want to be specific because we got a long segment coming up. We're going to break here, Lindsay. I want to finish the Ken Fromm story or anything else you've never told before on air, and we've talked about the day of rage coming up. Have you talked to your other Mr. X? That's an important question. Have you talked to him since we talked last Monday? So I'm going to ask you that when we come back after the break, and a lot more with Chaplain Lindsay Williams. Please stay with us. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back. Going back to Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, this is pretty hardcore stuff. You were trying to – well, during the break, I asked you the $64 million question. It's been about a week and a half since you talked to your living Mr. X, even more high power than Ken Fromm. And I asked you during the break, I said, have you talked to him again? And you said, yes, but I'm not allowed to tell you what he told me. Well, I mean, why do they even give you this information then? I mean, I know it's real. I know the information's real. But I mean, can you give us any idea what it was on?
Alex, over 35 years since I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and had the privilege of literally being invited to be the chaplain of the world for 3 years' time, or the chaplain of the elite of the world for 3 years' time, there has never been a single time that they ever told me anything that it didn't happen exactly as they said it.
Okay, but why is he telling you stuff now that you can't reveal?
For my own sake, you keep in mind, these people never knew what it was to come in contact with a chaplain before. Many of these people never met a minister of the gospel. I was on the oil field. They were not in my church. And many times they have said to me, Chaplain, to protect yourself, you'd better do this and this and this. And this is exactly that. A week ago, about a week and a half ago, your producer called me on the phone and said, there's anything new. And I said, you better believe there is. And I was willing to say what's happened, going to happen in the Middle East. You see it unfold before your eyes. Now, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think the reason they say it is because of their own conscience, if there is such a thing in the elite of the world. Remember, one of the facets of their code of ethics is that that they must tell the world everything they're going to do before they do it. There will be a point at which I can tell some of these things because you will see them happening before your eyes, and I can. Right now, I'm begging and pleading with you to watch Middle East, watch Saudi Arabia.
No, I know, but you're saying he told you something new, but you're not allowed to tell us. You can't give us a hint?
I'm telling you right now, I'm begging of you. The standard currency of the world is crude oil. Watch where you remember, I was given here back about 2 years ago. He said, watch the price of crude oil, and you will know the progression of the program of the elite. What did it happen overnight? You went up 12 cents per gallon at the gas pump here in my area overnight last night. You are, and what you're seeing happen with crude oil tells you where the timeline is. Do you realize that their timeline was the end of 2012, and it appears almost that they are accelerating that timeline? Can't you read between the lines, folks out there in the audience, and realize what this man is telling me?
But if he told you so much, why can't you specifically tell us what he
told you? The name of the game is control. And after they basically have gained control of everything worldwide, not just in America, but worldwide, whenever they have, at that point, they begin to bring all of the world under the New World Order out of its mess. And over a period of, I don't know how many years, they've never told me, but over a period of so many years, they will bring the world back to a position where they want it. You will again have a little bit of a dream, more like a surf would, and it will be brought back again under the auspices of the New World Order because the name of the game is control.
Okay, I want to specifically go back. You're saying that's what he told you that was new?
No, I'm not saying that's what he told me.
Well, why can't you tell us what he told you?
For you, so that you can see it for yourself, and I cannot give you certain things. I probably will in the future. Remember, I was threatened 2 years ago.
No, I know, Lindsay. We appreciate you.
My whole family. I know what happened to John F. Kennedy. He was the president of the United States of America. I'm just a little peon sitting down here beside my family.
Okay, so he tells you some stuff you can talk about.
I'm going to risk my life for the sake of something that I'm trying to tell you between the lines right now. You've got to read what the elite are saying by listening to their buzzwords.
All right, now I want to shift gears here into a similar area. Oil prices rise on Mideast. Bernanke comments. He says it's going to have little effect on our economy. I mean, how dumb do they think we are? I was just talking to this reporter who's done the Kissinger profile. He just did the Karl Rove profile for New York Mag. He said Karl Rove told him, and it's in the new piece, that, in fact, what's the name of your piece? I haven't read it yet. He's out there. What's the name of your new piece, Joe? Do what? God dang it, baby, we're making good time. That's the name of the new Karl Rove profile piece in New York Magazine. And Karl Rove told him there is no Republican establishment. So now even saying that there's a Republican establishment, like the RNC, he says that's a conspiracy theory and it doesn't exist. Now we have Bernanke telling us that we left the recession in June of 2009, a year and a half ago, or more. And now we have him telling us that oil prices going up doesn't affect the economy. I mean, how dumb do they think we are, Lindsay?
They take us to be totally stupid. In fact, I told you 2 years ago that the elite were laughing at the average American. I don't know how to say any more except the fact that there's more of us than there are of them, and the faster you can wake people up, Alex, the quicker we're going to see something happen. Now, I'm quite sure you realize that on Friday night of last week, you were very busy over the weekend, on Friday night of last week, Coast to Coast AM had me on schedule for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the audience was so alive, so excited, so exuberant. They said they had not seen such as this before. They asked me to stay on for a third hour. 3 hours on Coast to Coast AM with 60-something million listeners. I hope I helped wake up America. You just finished with Barbara Walters. You're trying to wake up America. I'm on your show this morning. I'm pleading with you to read what the elite said to me. And I'm trying to say it every place I can say it. You must listen to what is happening at the gas pump because.
No, I understand. This is earth shaking. This is earth shaking, Lindsay. But so what are the solutions? Warn people about the globalist agenda. So hopefully, as they implode the economy, we don't take their solution for more tyranny.
They're going to open up four major oil fields. in any one of these oil fields, they can produce oil at $16 per barrel. Folks, I am saying it to you. You've got to hear it. They are going to charge you $200 a barrel for it. They can produce it for $16 a barrel. It could be 60 cents a gallon at the gas pump. Throw out every one of those scoundrels in Washington, D.C. We've got to have some honesty up there that will give America back its great American dream. It could happen if millions of Americans, and right here over this, your InfoWars Alex Jones show today, this movement could start. I do not want a movement of rebellion. I do not want I don't want people doing what they're doing over there in Libya. That is wrong. But we've got to turn this thing back around again and give us back the great American dream. Stop the elite. Somehow you folks must listen to me. And, Alex, I've got to. Please, bear with me here. Do you want to know everything that's going to happen at the gas pump? Do you want to know everything that's going to happen at the grocery store? Do you want to know where the dollar's going? We started out on Saturday filming a new production entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. I thought we were going to have one DVD. We went to two DVDs. The camera crew was sitting there literally mesmerized. The man who was operating the camera, a young man, he said, "Chaplain, I've never heard anything like this before." We went 3 hours. We are having a 3-hour presentation. All of you last week who called in to our toll-free service, you're not getting two DVDs as you thought you were. You're going to get, for the same price, 3. You have never heard things like this. The things that were given to me over the weekend, I have put them into this. It'll be the first time it's ever heard before. You'll see them chanting, "To Jerusalem we're headed, martyrs in the millions." All I can say is, Alex, this message has got to get out, and the whole nation has got to make a turnaround. And it's
and is the DVD set called with all this? Sure, is this DVD set with all the latest information? It's called The Middle East, The Rest of the Story, prophecyclub.com. When I called you a week and a half ago, you weren't even really planning to do this, and I'm glad that you are codifying all the new information you've been given with the old information in one place. Prophecyclub.com. Lindsay, real fast, fire out the toll-free number for folks that want to get it.
888-799-6111. We increased our operators to 6. 888-799-6111. But, Alex, I hope you'll allow me to give updates as we're seeing these things happen.
Absolutely, Lindsay. We're out of time, but I want to get you back up again next week as we approach March 11th. And let me say bye to you during the break. I really appreciate you coming on with us. We got Webster Tarpley coming up. I got a bunch of financial news and the latest on TSA molestation. Key information straight ahead.
Oh, welcome back. That was something. Okay, before I take a break, I just want to talk about this for a second. We all have been putting this off, getting your emergency supplies, doing the canning that you need, actually planning to have, for example, 3-day, 2-week supplies, that kind of thing. We have been putting off this thing on the money. Every one of us, because we don't know what's really going on. If you have nothing in the bank like me, I don't have much to worry about because I don't think it's going to take anything that I have. But if they do that, you know. So anyway, Nancy, you've got an issue, and it's you know, I'm worried too for everyone who needs to retain their savings. So we have put this off. So right now, and when I come after back after the break, I'm going to tell you some actions that I'm taking right now to really get the word out that everyone needs to get this going and to get their water supply together. Depending on where you live, if you're in a rural area, you just might have more ability you know, to get yourself stocked up and so forth than in a city. And that's where some of the crunch is clearly going to happen. I have an excellent film on my website called After Armageddon, which is, you know, it's kind of a dramatization of what could happen. For example, needing to don't throw away your extra antibiotics that you have left from any kind of illness you have. Keep those around, aspirin, ibuprofen, burn dressings. Everything that you might need for any kind of survival is very important. If you don't have any cast iron cooking, go get some cast iron pans. These are critical. So anyway, I'm going to, Echo Foxtrot, you know, I don't have money out of the bank, but yes, I would think about getting your money out of the bank. And I know that if you go and pull money out of the bank right now, that, you know, a whole bunch, that people are going to start looking suspiciously, especially if something is planned for, quote-unquote, next week. My 96-year-old mother said today, you know, they're really after everybody's savings, aren't they? And what could I save? She has nothing, but they'll take everything. And, again, the assassination of John Roll had a lot to do with that, where the Obama administration is trying to use the 1933 executive order of FDR to confiscate all gold to deal with the national debt as precedent for trying to take people's savings. So depending on where it is, if you have IRAs and all of that stuff, I would, and how much you have. For me, I don't have much to take out of the bank. You know, I've got $100. If I had money right now, I'd be turning most of it into coinage, you know, quarters, dimes, nickels, which will retain their value. Maybe I'd buy some gold. But the other thing is I probably would keep only a very minimal amount in my bank account, you know, just to cover various bills and things like that. Nothing really big, no big savings, and I would put it under my mattress or wherever. So anyway, I just wonder as well. I think it's everybody's there. Now, I want us to keep that thought of really Reverend Manning on the need to just move this along. But also, I will be back in a second on my plan to help get us prepared. I'm trying to find, of course, a song, so pardon me for a second. I'll be right back. I'll find a song, and I'll be right back in about 5 minutes.
Do we find the cost of freedom buried in the ground? Mother Earth will swallow you. Lay your body down.
Remember how many people have died for us, like in the song, all the great soldiers who cannot get older are asking after you. Okay, this is the time, folks. All right, I'm going to spend the next few minutes telling you about how I have adjusted to being canned from my work because of my constant work on the eligibility issue and, I guess, being out there doing the Serpathon and going to Terry Lakin's trial and writing what I write and working where I worked in Indian country. I became very much of a target and found myself out of a job and afraid for my life, and I did move across the country and have reassessed my opportunities and so forth. And let me say first, with regard to the Indian work, I know why I was canned, and I'm doing something about that, not in the legal sense, but in ways that our opposition won't know until they're caught red-handed doing what we know they're doing with Indian country, the Chinese, the debt, the purposeful squeeze that we're getting in. Like, you know, a loaf of bread costing $4, you know, it costs the same amount or less to make a loaf of bread yesterday as it does today, but how come it costs $5 more today? The same with gasoline, for heaven's sakes. This is just ridiculous. Now, on gasoline, just wanted to just say this, it's time for the states to get involved. We cannot allow the feds to declare the emergency and come in and take over. The states have to do this. This is very much of a challenge. This is exactly the new world order type, would be to have the feds take this over and, yes, employ everybody in the federal government so we all become the federal force or informants or whatnot. All right, so for me, really, doing the work I was doing is extremely high profile, in that arena of high government, state, federal, tribal forums, abilities to work with millions of dollars and very large settlements involving lots of people, lots of water, all of that work is over for me. I'm in my mid-50s, and this kind of work, just because of what has happened, and you can read on my blog and read Lame Cherry to find out, but because of that, what I do is at an end. Like I said, I'm in my mid-50s. This was really a significant kind of issue. I've got excellent degrees and very good and portable skill, but it takes a difference. So for me, I'm determined that this was an opening of another door while one shut, and I'm dedicating the rest to being part of that 20 million crowd of people who show up and take Obama, to jail where he needs to be. But also to really get our country back, because I think what I've learned in the last 2 to 3 years writing about this is this now really is my life. This is something that I was brought to right now. I can't say that for everybody else, but for everybody else, whatever I do, I want to help you as well survive this. It's all up to God and where we are with God, in my view. But God willing, if you're one of those, I want to help everyone survive and thrive and be strong. So what I do is water. So I thought I would just create a website and make money, and that's not exactly what you do, because if you really want to do something, something that's going to provide full time, it's got to be something you do. So as I look around, and my being a hydrologist and know all aspects of water and love it to boot, and land, and I'm also a geologist. And knowing what our country is about, what's going on, I am just very concerned. So I am putting together an e-business around water that many of the subjects of which are things that we are concerned about. Now, I want to talk just a minute about one aspect of my website. My e-business will be a discussion on chemtrails. Now, my e-business is I'm an infopreneur. What I'm doing is passing on info and resources. And I hope, for example, to collate everything on chemtrails I possibly can. But in its relation to water, think about this. You know, you want to harvest rainwater off your roof. Well, you've got to deal with barium and aluminum and molds and all the other things that they're throwing up there, phosgene and other gases and so forth. How do you know that's being collected? What kind of water filter are you going to use? You want to go out and work on the land. Well, they've been spraying everywhere. So it's on the plants and in the soil and in the air and in the stream flow and eventually in the groundwater. No one is talking about this at all. So when I think about water, chemtrails are very important. We just heard Reverend Manning tonight just, you know, yeah, chemtrails are spraying us so we don't have any rage. So we just let this stuff go on, just like the fluoride in the toothpaste and in the water and the chlorination and the chloramines and so forth. So my site on water is going to be talking about all these kinds of threats, and also I know where there are filters to filter your water where this stuff gets out, including hormones and all that kind of stuff that's in your water situation right now. So also, of course, because of the water cycle you have and because of the water emergency and food emergency and connections that we have, there are many more other aspects of my website where, again, I'm not selling anything really but information. And if they're, you know, the way you do e-commerce is all kinds of models for doing that, but it's certainly not pyramid-type stuff. It's all legitimate. But, for example, I will have the filters on that site that you can purchase if you are concerned about filtering your water from chemtrails. Also, do you store it in plastic or glass? Also, when someone tells you to drink alkaline water or mineral water or deionized water or distilled water, and they give you all these health benefits, how do you know what to choose? And what's good coming down the line? Like, I'm going to have a session on food, of course, and part of that is emergency food and making your own emergency food. So there will be a place where you can contribute all your recipes and ideas and strategies so we can figure out how to do this. So that is the long term. Well, let me put it this way. I will not tell you what I think my website name will be, but I've got probably 9 various sections. Each one of those 9 sections has about 10 pages within. So there's going to be a lot of information there, and I hope to make it relevant. Yeah, there's going to be some science stuff in there, but I want you to have enough information about water and water quality and solar and food and all of those things to be absolutely an aware person so you build your health and strength and, most importantly, resilience to the kind of chemical attacks that we are under. So it's a very interesting process. I would love to talk with anybody about it. And, you know, you're welcome to drop me a line on my website or even here. So let me see. Yeah. Well, I think this is great. Everyone should try to do this. My goal here with this and what I will be working with you all, too, is to develop an independent income, a residual income. Because I refuse to be caught by this political stuff anymore. I don't need to be rolling in the dollars. But, you know, I was a commensurate, you know, value in terms of 30 years in my field and on the pay scale. That's pretty good pay. I don't need to make that, you know, and obviously I don't anymore. But I refuse anymore to be caught just because I'm an American in my job. And this has happened to so many people, and it will continue to be happening. Eventually, I'd like to have, you know, some kind of discussion on what people should be doing right now within their own employment, because even Obama's in contempt of court on Obamacare. He shouldn't be doing anything, but taxes are being taken out of your paycheck for that right now. And also any other taxes that they're trying to do, because our judiciary and Congress are not doing anything about this. So you might want to think about trying to be a 1099 employee with your employer. Say you pay your own taxes and you do it quarterly and, you know, do your own thing with that. But it's time to really try to keep as much money as you can. The only other thing that I can recommend is take as many deductions as you can. Right now, for me, it's, like I say, it's a completely different thing. With the Indian work, like I said, I'm going to keep doing the various things that I can. But that's what I'm doing, and I expect to be more politically engaged and more on the line, if you will. And I'm turning over really everything that I earn to supporting our movement to take our country back. So I hope you will join me, take a look, and be interested and so forth. And are there any questions out there? Otherwise, I think I'd like to end the show early this evening with just another 20 minutes of music or so. So let me know what you'd like to do. Okay, I'm going to put some music on. This is a very hopeful song, and one day, maybe it will be true.
arte do encontro, eu me encontrei com ela. Se o samba agora tá na moda, eu tô na passarela. Se o Brasil foi 66, agora é 00. Planto amor, acolheu bem, é isso é que eu espero. De Niterói até Paris, de LAPA. Lenda urbana, só quem viu, só quem tava lá. Fazer samba com página é contar piada. E quem faz samba assim é que não tá com nada. É melhor ser alegre que ser triste. Alegria é a melhor coisa que existe. Mas pra fazer um samba com beleza, é preciso um bocado de tristeza. Senão não se faz um samba não. Porque o samba é a tristeza que balança. E a tristeza tem sempre uma esperança. E o bom samba é uma forma de oração. E o bom samba...
Representa LAPA. Peço a benção.